For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to In the Water Podcast. It's been a little while since
we've done
a podcast, but we're very excited to bring to you the Georgia recap today. We went to Georgia, and I'll let Pastor Elwood here tell you how it went.
Georgia was something else. When we first got on the grounds, all we could see was the devastation of Hurricane Helene, and it was everywhere.
Yes.
And then we got on down there to the next to the lake down there. And boy, the way they had that set up, I mean, they had put some work in that.
They did.
And they'd put their heart and soul getting that ready for all the people that was getting ready to come.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not disappoint them,
not one bit.
And it was just absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I had myself a ball, whether anybody else did or not. but there's a lot of people left there that had the victory, that they flat out enjoyed themselves and being there. And some of them was there on Saturday and then came back on Sunday.
Yes.
Because it was so spirit-filled.
And brought their churches, too.
Brought their churches as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor said, this is phenomenal, what's taking place. And so it's just going to continue as the Lord continues to lead and guide. But Georgia was just absolutely fantastic. I can't say enough about the owners, all that they put out. I mean, they fed the people. They had tents up, everything that you could ask for. Had wood for bonfires and everything, and had them burning for the people when they came out of the water where it's cold. And my hat goes off to them, because I don't know of anything other that they could have done to make it any better.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord will bless them. The Lord
will
bless them for that. And it was just a fantastic time in Georgia. And we're looking forward to Alabama the next. So,
yes, we are.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of people in the line. You know, we have a salvation line, and everybody that comes in that water is asked if they're saved. And if they're not, they're led to Christ right there.
Yeah.
And so many people accepted the Lord right there in the same waters that were just devastated. And then they're baptized. And they had their hands straight up in the air, just giving all the glory to God. And so it's so beautiful how this entire devastation turned into this beautiful revival and restoration for these people.
Yes.
And so it was truly something to be able to go there and to watch people be filled with hope.
That's right.
And joy. And, you know, one of the ladies we baptized, her house was, you know, destroyed. I mean, she had three big trees fall on her house, and it was destroyed. And so to watch those people have all of this hope and faith that they didn't have before we showed up, you know, just showing them who Jesus is, and then being able to take their lives back and even better than before. So Georgia, to me, it was restoration, it was redemption.
Absolutely.
And man, do we give all the honor and glory to God for what He did in Georgia.
Absolutely. And those lakes out down there, they're called Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Can you even believe that?
The Holy Spirit and the Son flows in to the Father's lake, you know. And it was just miraculous what we got to experience down there. And like he's talking about the people that came that was broken, went through the trials of Helene, destroying her property, destroying her homes. And they needed hope, you know. And there were some that came that, you know, they were suffering spiritual problems as well. And I talked with some of them, and I'm telling you what the stories that they have. But when they get in that water, they get that restoration, going back into their life, and they can get out of that water with joy and the peace and the happiness that they feel.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go up there and sit down on the big logs that they had there, and they didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
You know, they could get warm by the...
Everybody loved it. It was such a Holy Spirit-filled place.
Yes, it was.
That there were so many people didn't want to leave.
No, that's exactly right.
They were sitting all around the property, and baptisms were over, and they were just sitting there just appraising. The worship team was still going.
I'm telling you. I'll tell you, that was it was just fantastic. For being out of the water as long as we had, and it was such a joy to see everybody come back. Mm-hmm. You know, we're scattered all over the country, and it was such a joy to see each and every one of them once again, and to work with each one of them as well, and how the Lord truly, truly, truly blessed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can find words for it, that how He really blessed, and the joy that fills your soul. But it was spectacular. And that praise and worship team, I told them guys, I said, and ladies, and I said, you all are absolutely awesome.
They are. Sail of Praise.
Yes, they are.
That's their new name. They have, they've traveled with us since June.
Yeah.
Since last June when I had my first revival, they played there first. And they have not missed but one revival since.
Is that right?
That's it. Only Colorado. That was the only one. And Rose, she played her piano. Remember Rose did?
That's right.
Colorado. But they've only missed one, and that was it. And so every other one, you know, it's Sam. He's the worship leader, and he had a baby, and so him and his wife had a baby right as we started this revival, you know. So he would send his brothers if he couldn't come, but nevertheless he would never leave us hanging. So he always would send somebody from the worship team. So we've always had like this heavily anointed worship team. And just the other day they were over here for a Sabbath Saturday, and I said, listen, we got to get you a name and set up your socials. People are demanding to know who you are because they are so spirit-filled.
Yeah.
And they're so humble that they didn't want the acknowledgement, you know? And so we came up with the name Selah Praise because their daughter, her name's Selah. And so, and Praise, it's P-R-A-I-S-E, so Praise, like praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And so they came up with the name, and we made the logo and made their accounts, and so we just encourage y'all, if y'all want to hear their worship music, we're going to try to start putting a GoPro on them every time and pushing some stuff out, because they are just, I mean, they hit you right in the spirit. I mean, their music is so heavily anointed. And so when we're in the water, we can just hear, like, I'll just be over there just praising too in between people because it's so beautiful. And speaking of our volunteers, what a pump-up lesson you gave us. The night before, we had this big bonfire because it was cold. And Elwood, you know, gets his Bible out. And I had something I wanted him to read that, you know, would encourage the team. And let me tell you, he took off like that fire. And so he reads it first, and then he just gets into another spiel. And then, you know, talking about how we are the repairers of the breach.
Yeah.
And that really inspired so many people. So that message you gave us, that we are the repairers of the breach, it'll stick with me forever.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we don't look at ourselves that way. But when these people come, they're broken. Some of them has, they've got family trouble. Marriages has been destroyed. Their sons and daughters may be on drugs out there. But they're also suffering spiritually. And they're looking for hope. They're looking for love. And they're trying to get across this gulf, so to speak. And they're looking for somebody to help mend that gulf that they can get crossed and instill the love and the passion and the kindness back into their life that they can get to the other side. You know, they've made it part of the way, but they're having trouble get on across. And that's where the repairs come in. And that's where the baptizers come in, is they're out in there and they're speaking life into these people. As the Bible said, you have the power of life and death lies within your tongue. So as these repairs, I call them, of the breach, is speaking life back into these people, you know, it's a, and with their ears, they're hearing something they haven't heard for a while. Because they've been beat up and knocked down time after time. But when people start speaking life and speaking joy and peace and love back into them, you can just see them. Sort of straighten her back up a little, you know. Hey, I am worth something.
Yes.
You know, because they are, but they're God's creation. And so when these repairs start speaking speaking that back into them,
right.
Well, then it gives them some mojo, sort
yes.
of speak,
yes.
you know. And they're just listening to these baptizers as they're praying over them, and they're just weeping and crying because they have run into somebody that loves them, that's speaking their kind of language, and the world needs to hear it.
Yes.
The world needs to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come out of there, as some of the people will say, I ain't never seen nothing like this before.
Yes,
and
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, but it's the love of God that
yeah.
flows
mm-hmm.
from the, I call them repairs of the breed.
Yeah,
it's the love of God that flows from them into them. They're like the little old lady that her husband died and had sons, and the creditor was going to come and take her sons and
yes.
put them in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And Elisha said, what do you have in your house?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I have a pot of oil.
Yep.
And he said, go and borrow all these vessels. And this is what the repairers are doing. They're pouring the oil out of their life
mm-hmm.
into them. And this is the reason they're coming out of there with the victory that they have. And this is what Christians need to do today.
Yes.
To pour out of their life what God has placed in them
Amen.
To fill them others up. And they can walk off of there victorious. And they'll be able to fight Satan. They'll be able to fight the spiritual battles.
Yes.
Because they have been instilled in something within the heart
mm-hmm.
that they can feel. And they know it's true. And we just need to speak life into people's life instead of death.
Amen. I feel like standing up and like, let's go preach Elwood. Let's go. Let's go on to Alabama a couple weeks ago.
That'd be all right with me. I'm retired.
You don't know what that word means.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. Well, you know, so the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
And in the Bible, he wreaks havoc on people's lives all the time. And it's steal,
mm-hmm.
kill, and destroy. But God comes to give us life and to give it abundance.
Yes, he does.
And so when we know that, and we know the spiritual and power and authority that Jesus Christ has given
mm-hmm.
us, then when we're out there in those waters, we know that whatever the enemy has come at them with, whatever they've
yeah.
been going through, that Jesus Christ can deliver them from.
Exactly.
And so that's when we, you know, the repairers of the breach.
Yeah.
Like this. We have to have shirts, repairers of the breach. But that's whenever, you know, the Lord, he's using our hands and feet. And
yeah.
he's like, you know, these are my people, and he is setting his captives free. And it is, there's nothing like it. And there was a man, he's 84 years old, and his
oh,
name
my.
Was Charles, or Charlie, we call him Charlie. But Charlie sat there on the bank and watched us for a long time, just crying, you know. And I came out of the water and I said, what do you think, Charlie? And he said, I've just never seen nothing like this. And I'm like, you know what, that's, for one, that's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad just because, you know, we should be seeing this. We should be seeing
Absolutely.
This every Sunday at church. We should see people restored. We should see them filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
This is what we should see on a regular basis. And just to think, man, like, revival is here. Like, we finally have revival here.
Yeah.
And the revival of God's people is really spreading like fire. Like,
yes, it is.
We are ready, you know. Our
mm-hmm.
our schedule this year, we're going as far as we can go. When it comes to preparing this, like, it really does take us, we have a week to recover, and then it takes 2 to 3 weeks to plan the next revival.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we have 44 people in our main crew staff. We have about 20 extra volunteers, and so making accommodations and finding these places to go and all the preparations for the places, you know, all of that takes
yeah.
a long time, and making the schedules. And so by the time that we get done with one, we literally are running as fast as we can to the next one. And so this year we are truly trying our best to get to as many people as we can. We do have Washington coming up in July.
Yeah.
We didn't intentionally make it for 4th of July. What happened was there was a camp in Washington State, and I had been knowing that God was sending me to the West Coast. But it's so hard to find, you know, the location has to be contingent on the landowner.
Right.
And so this man, like, he messages me, he calls me actually, and he says, you know, I don't know you. He's like, but there's a lot of people that call my camp and are saying that I need to invite you here. And I'm like, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So we end up talking for a while, and he has this big, beautiful youth camp, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he's, you know, letting us come and have a revival there. So it's going to be a big, nice revival. But, you know, I just got to thinking about it so much with driving through all of those places, and how could you not stop? How could you
yeah.
just keep going? And so,
you know, if we make a journey of it and we stop a little bit along the way,
yeah,
and then we get there, like the Lord, He will bless us, He will repair us, and we will be able to still get our big job done with the big revival,
right,
and then have the smaller ones on the way.
Absolutely. And that will, you know, just thrill a lot of these people that,
yeah,
can't come,
mm-hmm,
to death, you know. And they'll, when they find out where it's going to be, they'll be making their plans.
Yes.
And I don't think it's going to go for less than 100 people.
Yeah.
But
we don't know. We've never done this before.
But anyway, there is so many out there.
Yeah.
That is heartbroken. They're downtrodden,
yeah,
and they need some encouragement. They,
mm-hmm,
need a lift up. They need a hand.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And as we are Jesus' feet and hands,
mm-hmm,
now to spread the love and kindness and compassion to these people,
yes,
that they'll be able to continue to fight on through,
mm-hmm,
the spiritual battles that they have.
Yes.
Because I've read some comments and I thought, just bless them people, you know, and they're not able to, or may not be financially able to come, or whatever may be the,
yeah,
case. But if they can't come, maybe we can take it to them.
Amen.
So,
that's how I feel. Amen.
And so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, y'all heard that, right?
Yeah.
Everybody heard that. Just holding Pastor Elwood accountable when we're crawling out of Montana or something.
We may have to crawl into Washington State, but at least we'll see part of the country, you know.
Yes, yes. And when we get there.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great. I know that, you know, like I said, the 4th of July, like, it kind of fell that way because the camp, he was like, you know, the only weekend we don't have booked is the 4th of July.
Mm.
And I'm like, I don't care what time it is. I don't even look at the calendar no more. You just tell me when. So we'll be there. We'll be baptizing July 4th and July 5th.
Yeah.
In Washington State. And so that'll be the only one that we have all the way on the West Coast, because we, like I said, we need to be so many places, and we have to,
absolutely,
go to where God has prepared for us. You,
absolutely,
know, He will prepare the landowner's hearts, and then,
yes,
that's where we go. And so where we got, let's name our schedule. I know we have already announced some, but we're going to announce two locations on this podcast. We're going to make these poor folks have to listen to all of what we just said, and then now they get to hear these two new locations. So first of all, we're going to Alabama next. That,
yep,
is in 2 weeks, maybe.
That's pretty close.
Let me get our schedule. Let me get our schedule. So Alabama is going to be March 29th and Sunday, March 30th. Then we're going to Oklahoma, Fossil Creek Ranch. It's going to be April 26th and Sunday, April 27th. Then we're going to go to Indiana.
Indiana.
Indiana's been a big one people's asked us for. It's Camp Arthur. So it'll be May 30th and May 31st. Then Washington, Bear Paw Camp. And that's going to be July 4th and July 5th. And here's our drum roll. You're supposed to be my drum roll, Elwood.
Okay. I don't know how to do a drum roll.
So we have two new locations. You want to leak the first one? Where's your pastor buddies at?
Oh, West Virginia.
West Virginia.
And I'm expecting Dan Cunningham, Jason Morgan, Jason Kang, Ray Fluharty, and Bill Lewis to be there.
You just dropped all your preacher buddies' names.
They've just X'd me out of every revival they'll ever have anymore. So,
no, they're gonna be there. I have faith that they're gonna be there, and they're gonna love it. They're gonna. You never know. They might be tagging along with us on the next one.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
Because this is a move of God, unlike anything we've seen. You know. So, I highly expect your preacher buddies, mm-hmm, to show up, and I can't wait to shake their hands.
And Brother Richard Fluharty,
there
I forgot
you
that one.
You get them all.
Yeah, that's all of them.
So West Virginia, it's actually, this one's going to be a landowner, just like we did in Georgia, where it's, mm-hmm, the, instead of a camp, this is a landowner that's preparing,
okay,
their land for us. His name's Mac, like mac and cheese.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And so he's got a big, nice farm there and a big, I think it's the North River that cuts through, it's what it's called.
Oh.
So we're going to be baptizing in the North River. So that is going to be in 2855 Delray Road, Augusta, West Virginia. And y'all can find the flyers, you know, you can find them either pinned on all of our socials,
mm-hmm,
or you can find them on KaylaGabbardMinistry.com. So our last location we're going to drop. This isn't the last one for the year. We still have a couple more months to plan, but this is the last one we're going to drop because we don't know the other ones ourselves. So we are going in September back to
Texas.
We're going back to Texas. Texas was massive, which everything's big in Texas, and it was big. We had over 900 people. I bet it was closer to 1,000 that we baptized last time. And so that was last year, and now we're ready for 2025, and it's going to be September 13th and September 14th, and that's going to be the same location we were at, the Open Water Lodge. Terry and Michael, they were our hosts there, and they're excellent people.
We're gonna
be going back to Open Water Lodge. So
we was there 27 hours in the water.
We was.
We'd be over there 37 hours this time probably.
Listen, when we came out, I dropped to my knees and I just prayed, and I'm like, thank you, God, for getting us through, because we had aches and pains everywhere. And then, you know, the cool thing with Texas was that, you know, we all learn in each one that we go through. Like, we put our bodies to the test, our mind, we put everything to the test for the Lord. And there was a moment in Texas, y'all, it was one of my favorite moments of my life, even though it was so hard and dramatic. But me and Pastor Elwood come out of the water. This was an hour, probably, I'd say 24 of us, because we had probably 2 to 3 more hours left of us being in the water. We were beyond, like, our bodies had been beyond what capability for a body could do. And we went to get something to eat and just take a moment before we got back in the water. And Elwood and I just hugged each other in the kitchen and cried and cried and cried. And everybody around us cried, like the entire place was crying. And then, like, and I was telling him, I'm like, you know, Jesus broke his body for us. And, like, we truly are suffering with Christ. Like, we are breaking our bodies for God. Like, this is what he has ordained us to do. This is what we are sent out for. This is what he created us for. So we're just hugging each other and trying to breathe life into each other. And we're cold as can be. And it's past dark. And we know that we just have a couple more hours. And, you know, the line's still there. Yeah. And we will baptize till the last person is baptized.
Absolutely.
And so at this point, we knew that the revival was coming to an end, but we still needed more of us being able to be the hands and feet out there.
That's right.
So Texas was massive. We got the job done.
Yeah.
And we're very expectant for more.
Absolutely.
Because now, you know, the Lord provides, and he's provided us with a bigger team. We run more efficiently now. Like, he's showing us as we go, like, you know, it's fishes and loaves. We have given him what we have. And he has multiplied it.
Absolutely.
And so we look forward to meeting y'all in West Virginia and Texas.
Absolutely. And all across the country.
Then everywhere else we go.
God sustains our body.
Yeah.
Get them in shape. And
we've been working on that.
Yeah.
Pastor Elwood has only had one tiny mini donut in... How long?
Three weeks.
Yeah, almost a month. He's only had one tiny donut.
I can feel the glaze dripping off my chin, you know.
And I gave him that donut. So I actually was very hesitant because, you know, Pastor Elwood actually had sugar diabetes. And I did not know that. He had not told me yet. And about a month ago, I found out. And I'm like, Elwood, we're going to pray about this. And we did. We prayed. And, you know, he hates needles. Hates them. Like, you know, nobody really likes them, but Elwood hates them.
Yeah.
And so he'd been giving himself an insulin shot.
Yeah.
And I said, man, we need to change our diet. So we got a new doctor. And we all changed together. We all started Chaz and Walt and Holly.
That's right.
And everybody who lives right here, we all started changing a little bit of our diets because our body's a temple. And we realized that the Lord is using our bodies. Like,
yes.
He needs our bodies to be as healthy as we can be. That's honestly, like, something that a lot of Christians slack in, is knowing that these vessels right here, to be used by God, we got to take care of them. And so it really hit Pastor Elwood and I. And we said, you know what? There's some stuff we got to give up. There's some stuff that we have been eating that ain't no good for us. And Pastor Elwood really likes the donuts.
Yes, I do.
And now he has broke himself of that temptation.
Yeah.
And we got back from Georgia, and I bought these little mini Krispy Kreme donuts, and I'm like, you can have one. And he looked at me like, what? And, you know, because it's hard to resist temptation all the time. And, you know, he would go to the grocery store, and y'all, he would walk around the table. He would go back. He would go shopping, and he would come back to the donuts and just look at them, just torturing himself. And he'd just look at that glaze and just break your heart, wouldn't it?
That's right. When she said I could have one little one, I gobbled it down. It wasn't going nowhere.
And I felt bad, too, because that was like, it's like a treat, you know, because I'm like that with muffins. So I won't eat muffins anymore. I used to eat them every morning for breakfast. And now after the revival, I'm like, okay, I get my muffin. Yeah. So it'll get a donut. I'll get a muffin, and it'll be just like, it'll be good. I am super proud of him because it's hard. It's hard to change your health. It's hard to make your, you know,
yes,
but we realized
is.
There in Texas that we had to make changes with our bodies so we could be healthy. And so I'm happy to say that Pastor Elwood has not had an insulin shot in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks. Maybe
about three,
two.
About 3 weeks, something like that.
And that's incredible. Yeah. I know that the Lord has healed you.
Absolutely. And, you know, just as our bodies need healing, we have to do some things for our spiritual man
as
well.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
To be able to fight the war, fight the battles of spirituality, we've got to have a word. We've got to eat on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't gain an ounce by it, but that spiritual man will gain strength inside. Mm-hmm. Just as we got to get the physical body fixed.
Yes.
We got to get our spiritual man
even
fixed.
More important spiritual fix.
Absolutely.
Yes, because we're spiritual beings first.
Absolutely. Just as we talked about speaking life into these people that comes into the water, every Christian, I don't care who you are, you're going to go through the ups and downs of the battles.
I know.
And sometimes you've got to speak life into your own self.
Yes, you do.
Because there may not be somebody else around to do it for you.
Right.
And I've had to time and time and time again, especially when I was pastoring.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll tell you what, sometimes pastoring is a heavy, heavy load. And there's disappointment and discouragement comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to speak life into you.
Yeah.
You know, take that, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, you know. Speak that into your life and go right back and get back in the saddle, so
to
speak.
That's right, yep.
And get up there and spur the devil once again, telling you.
That's right.
And keep on pushing on. Just, we got to get our physical body fixed.
Yeah.
We got to get our spiritual body fixed.
Amen.
But I am so looking forward to this year coming.
Me too.
Seeing people delivered and seeing people with the joy of Christ in their face.
Yes.
And see the shackles and chains that has dropped off of them. And they finally been set free.
I know.
And they can live a life of joy unspeakable and full of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my desire.
Amen.
That's my desire.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to see it with these pop-up revivals.
Yes, I think we will too,
absolutely,
Elwood.
I think we'll see it in Washington. I think we'll see it in West Virginia.
Yep.
So you boys just girdle up and come on up.
That's right.
And so you in West Virginia, because we're going to have ourselves time.
Yeah.
And you're going to see something that you've probably never seen before in your life.
Mm-mm.
And you can take it back to your church.
Yes.
And tell them about it. And and just tell them what the Lord has done.
And keep that fire.
Yes.
You know, light that fire and
absolutely.
Just get everybody around you in revival too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the absolutely. Whole church.
Yes, yes. And I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. I can't wait.
I am. Amen.
Amen. I'm excited too. I think the pop-up revivals are going to be amazing. And I think, you know, obviously our big revivals, you know, it's God stirs the hearts.
Yes.
You know, God stirs the hearts, and He'll continue to do so.
Absolutely.
And we'll continue to work, and He'll supply, you know.
Absolutely. You know, I text Bevan the other day. I said, Bevan, I miss you.
No.
I already miss you. It's only been apart for a week.
Yeah.
But there's a love that grows within.
Yes.
And within the unit, so to speak, within the repairs. Each one of them has their job, but there's a love and a bond that grows in there.
Mm-hmm. We're a family.
You just you just want to get together every time you possibly can.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward already to seeing them again.
I know. We're all scattered out. So. We have people in all over the states because, you know, most of the people that are in our team, we've baptized.
Yeah.
You know, they'll come to revivals, we'll baptize them, and then God will put it on their heart for more, and they come back. Mm-hmm. So we've got people in Virginia and North Carolina and Florida and Georgia and Texas and
I'm telling you.
And all over. Wherever we've been, we have a person from. And so we definitely, we miss each other so much. And then the family comes together, and it's beautiful. Like, we have fellowship, and we encourage one another, and it's almost like you're put in this bubble, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then when we get home, we're like, this life, you know, because revival life is where it's at, you know. I mean, it's hard. It comes with its trials, you know. It's very hard to get yourself mentally prepared to go and do what we have to do.
Absolutely.
But we all encourage one another and uplift one another, and we know that we're doing it to glorify God.
Yes,
and so everybody there, you know, we can relate. And, you know, it's so beautiful to find people that are God's family because, you know, it's not meant, you know, when you talk about fellowship in the Bible, it's not meant for you just to see somebody once a week and you not to even speak to them and just in the congregation shake their hand for 2 seconds, you know, and meet and greet for 5 seconds. Like, that's not uplifting the brethren. No. That's not, you know, having fellowship. So it's very important to find people that are like-minded, that read their Bibles, that can uplift you and that can pray for you. Like, when you have something in your life, there should be people you go to that you can pray with, that you can, you know, have them help you. And, you know, Pastor Elwood had to pray over me yesterday, and I actually don't let people pray over me. I don't. God told me probably, I would say, when did this start? This was before Texas. Actually, it started whenever I first started, I would have people come to pray for me. Mm-hmm. And one time in Tennessee, I had just started, I had maybe baptized 25 people, you know, just me out there, me and my Bible against the world. And I had this lady come in Tennessee, and she said, God sent me to pray for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought, well, prayers are, you know, anybody should be able to pray for you. Like, that's fine. And this lady said, and I know she has anxiety and these kind of things, you know, and Lord, just help her with her anxiety. And I was like, I don't have anxiety, you know. And after that, I was like, why she say that? And so then I kind of was open to it more. Well, every revival, I would have people try to single me out when, like, Walt or no one else was around me, and they would try to pray for me. And it would be something like that. And so I stopped accepting prayer.
Yeah.
And, like, the Lord showed me, he showed me that, you know, unless someone is, like, you know, has a high anointing and they are coming from him, it's very easy for people to have seeds and plant seeds of doubt and discord and, you know, just try to discourage you. Yeah. And so with the leaders, like, we've actually had this with Kaylee. She's our revival leader. Mm-hmm. We've had people do the same with her. And I'm like, Kaylee, you are not to accept prayers because some of these people could be coming to hurt you. You know, like, there's the enemy, you know, he was an angel too. Like, he will know what to do to come and, you know, put little seeds in people's minds to say, and whether they mean to or not, it still comes out, you know. So I quit letting people pray over me. Texas was the last time, and I had a lady show up to Texas and she tried to curse my children and we had to actually make her leave. That was huge to me. Like, that was such a big deal. I was like, listen, in the name of Jesus, my family's protected. What is wrong?
Right.
So we definitely had a moment where, you know, we had to ask her to leave, and she's like, I didn't mean anything by it. And, you know, she was very sorrowful that the words even came out of her own mouth. And, you know, I had to really rebuke the enemy, and I had to cancel the assignment of the enemy constantly after
absolutely.
That. So now I don't allow people to pray over me because I see it as sometimes a threat or an attack or something that could happen. And so I don't let people pray over me, but Pastor Elwood. And, yesterday, I just had, like, this spirit of discouragement that just kept trying to come and just attach. And I'm like, I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged. You know, like, I have a lot to do and I'm excited to do it.
Absolutely.
And we have a lot of people to reach and I'm excited about it. And I'm like, where is all this discouragement coming from? And I'm like, I just cannot seem to pop out of this.
Yeah.
And so we asked Pastor Elwood, and he prayed over me, and this morning I feel so much better. I woke up this morning and I'm like, let's go do our podcast. Pastor Elwood came over, and usually he's got to wait on me for quite a while. Usually I don't even start getting ready till Pastor Elwood's here, but this time I'm like, I'm gonna surprise him and I'm gonna be ready. And I was ready. I was on a phone call, but I was still ready. And but anyways, encouragement and having the body of Christ around you.
That's
and if you don't have that, I just really highly encourage you to find it.
Yes.
Find a prayer group. There's so many ways now. It doesn't have to be a church. If you do have a great church, that's wonderful. Find and bond with people there. Make a Bible study.
Absolutely.
But there's also a lot of things outside of the church. There are lots of people now that are making Bible study groups. There is praise and worship groups.
Mm-hmm.
There's just people that are just coming together. There's revivals. There's, you know, lots of places now you can go.
Yes, there is.
And if you don't have that place, then become it. Become that place. You know, start opening
Absolutely.
Up a Bible study at your house. Start inviting people and really finding that fellowship, because it is so important for you to be uplifted and encouraged, because this
yes.
world and the devil that runs it will try to weigh you so heavy.
Absolutely.
It will just weigh you down with the problems and discouragement
yes.
and, you know, and sickness and all kinds of things. And you really do need the body of Christ to help you be encouraged.
Absolutely.
I didn't mean to go off on such a tangent with this, but whoever that was for, I hope that helps, because you truly need people that you can trust,
yeah.
that you know that God is also speaking through, that you can look at them and see their spirit filled. Find you some spirit-filled people.
Absolutely. You know, the whole team down there in Georgia, they felt a spiritual battle
yes,
that was taking place within their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But we got victory over
We did.
You know.
Yep.
And that's what I'm talking about, speaking life into you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feed that spiritual man so that the when the enemy does come,
yep.
you'll recognize him, and you
yes.
won't have no problem recognizing
that.
Because the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
So when you feed that spiritual man, you can recognize that enemy
Amen.
Just like that.
And put him under your feet.
Absolutely. And and rebuke that rascal. Tell him that his assignment is absolutely going nowhere.
There you go.
And,
canceled.
Because you've got the victory.
Yes.
Because Jesus Christ bore the stripes for our healing. He went to the cross and died for us that we might have eternal life. And so therefore, sick big brother on him. Sick Jesus on him.
There
and,
you go.
Because he can't stand.
Nope.
He will not be able to stand. Because Jesus has done won this war.
Yes, he has.
We're just fighting the battles
yes.
Down here. So Jesus will get you through. Jesus will get you through.
Yes, he will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very excited, Pastor Elwood. I'm ready to see where God takes us. I know that we got lots of people to go and encourage and breathe
yes.
life into, and we're excited. We are very excited to
yes,
see
absolutely.
What this year brings. And we also, you know, we haven't done a podcast in a while because
no.
we've been doing our discipleship series.
Yeah.
So we really pray that that's been helping y'all. We've been talking about how to read your Bible, how to pray, evangelism.
Sanctification.
And sanctification. Those are the four that we've done so far.
Yeah.
So we really pray that that's helping y'all, that it's you know, encouraging you and just showing you how to live, because you know it is a hard world
yeah.
and it can drag you down, but if you can be encouraged and know how to fight this spiritual battle
Absolutely.
And know how to win, because Jesus has already won for you.
Yes.
And so if you can learn these things and take control back of your life, then you know that's what we're here for. We're here to work for Jesus and to set his captives free. So we just really appreciate all the people that like to hear us two hillbillies. Both of us actually joke about it a lot. I'm like, people love to hear you, Elwood. He's like, they love to hear you. I'm like, no, they love to hear you. And it's so funny to us because I don't want to hear myself, you know. And we literally are two hillbillies.
Oh,
but
goodness.
We're very thankful that we can be hillbillies for Jesus.
Yeah.
And that could be a shirt too, Elwood. Hillbillies for Jesus.
Yeah. There you go.
But we're very thankful that, you know, God did raise us up for such a time as this. And we are encouraged and we are ready. We
yeah.
are ready to take this this show on the road.
Yes.
We got our van fixed again.
Yeah.
That van, man, that van is just...
It's ready now.
It's ready now.
It is ready.
Every time this past two or three revivals,
mm-hmm.
then it's tried to do me dirty.
Yeah.
Just tried to break down a little bit. But we're blessed that Pastor Elwood's brother's a mechanic. So
yeah.
we definitely been blessed with that. So we're ready to get on the road again.
That's right.
We're going to see y'all in Alabama.
That's
and
right.
The ones we don't see in Alabama, we will see in Oklahoma
yeah.
and Indiana and Washington and West Virginia and Texas and wherever we stop along the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We thank y'all so much for joining us for this podcast, and we will catch you soon on another podcast. But in the meantime, try to catch us on that discipleship series. So God bless y'all.